Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our mind, body, and spirit. And, you know, we need these three elements to be really healthy and alive in the world. And that's why tonight's guest is somebody who's devoted his life to healing, to health, to helping other people. And he has quite a dramatic story to tell. He's a good friend of mine, an old friend of mine from 20 years back, James Templeton. Thanks, James, for being here.
Alan, it's wonderful to be with you after all these years, you know, and I'm excited to get to talk to you today.
Yeah, and I had no idea about your journey. Do you want to hold up your book and tell people? There's his book. This is a new book. I used to have cancer, James Templeton. And what's the subtitle? How I Found My Own
Way Back to Health.
Right. When did this happen to you? Because when I knew you in the 90s, was this something that happened after that or before that?
This happened in 1985 is when I was diagnosed with cancer. And that was before I knew you. And I was living in Texas. And I was this regular guy that was doing very well in business, and I thought I had everything going good for me. I had a wife, and I had a little girl that wasn't even quite 2 years old, just a precious little girl. And I thought everything was great. I guess you could say I had life by the tail. And I even was like a fitness buff back then. I exercised all the time. And, you know, I was a big runner. And the reason I got into running so much and working out was because my father, my grandfather, died of heart attacks at a young age. My father at 46, my grandfather at 36. Well, I never even knew him, but my mother died before I was 2 years old. And my brother died at 8 years old. Well, I had all this death in my family and this feeling, you know, that I wasn't going to live past 30. You know, I always felt that.
So you made an effort to try to stay in shape, to exercise, to be as healthy as possible in the way you thought health was supposed to be.
Yes. I got into reading about a guy back then, and you might remember his name was Jim Fix. And he was a running guru. He was a guy that was big into the fitness industry back then. And I didn't know anything about these guys, but I read about him and I read about the things he was doing. And his father had died at a relatively young age of a heart attack. So this guy had written a book, The Book of Running. And this book was about, you know, when you run and you do all this exercise, that you could stave off heart disease, heart problems, heart attacks. So I thought, well, if he can do it, why can't I do it? So I'll do that. And maybe I will have a longer life. Maybe I will live past 30. And then one day, Jim Fix was running and he fell over and died of a heart attack at 52 years old.
Wow.
And I read this and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. You know, if he died at 52, then I better go get checked out. Maybe I'm not as in good a shape as I think. Mm. So I went in to get a stress test. I won these cardio stress tests from a specialist there in the town I lived in. And I go in and the doctor says, well, let's get you on the treadmill. They get you on this treadmill and they get your heart rate up and they keep getting it up at higher levels to see how well you were doing, how fast your body could recover, your heart could recover. So I went in and I got this stress test and the doctor says, well, my gosh, he says, you are unbelievable. You're in unbelievable shape. He said, you broke the all-time record in my office. He said, no one's ever done this well. He said, but there's only one thing I can find wrong with you. And he said, there's a mole on your back. And I was like, he goes, well, it's probably nothing. It looks a little suspicious, but I don't think you have to worry about it. But just when you get a chance, go down and have it looked at and see what it is. And so I didn't think much about it. So I go into the dermatologist, have it checked out, and he looks at it and he got all excited. And the guy was like, he looked like he'd seen the lottery, won the lottery or something. I never seen anything. This guy's so excited. He goes, oh my God, oh my God. I think you have melanoma. Well, I didn't like his bedside manner. this the way he was carrying on. And he acted like he was, excited. And I said, I'm not going back to him. And I said, well, I'll get back to you. And I left. Well, I went home and I was so upset. I barely made it home. And when I got home, my wife says, well, you know, it'll probably be okay. Why don't we get another opinion? And I said, I think that's a good idea. So I got an appointment with the dermatologist I'd been to, you know, years before. And he says to me, he says, well, it looks suspicious to me, but he said, it's probably nothing. It's probably early stage if it is anything. And I wouldn't worry about it. But he says, just to be sure, I'm going to send you to a friend of mine that is a world-renowned oncologist. And he's down in Houston. And, you know, this guy is the guy you want to go to with something like this. So I thought then, well, I'm lucky, I guess, to go to see this guy, right? You're going to the best. So I made an appointment, went in to see the guy. He looks at it. He says, it looks suspicious to me, too. He says, but, you know, we're not going to really know until we see what it is. Let's just take it out and we can do it right here in the office. So he took a big old square plug out of my back. I mean, it's like a big chunk out of there. And he says, we'll send it to the lab. He said, there's nothing else you can do, but just go home. Don't worry. And I'll call you in a few days. Well, I got home and that's all I did was worry. You know, I couldn't stop worrying. All I did was pace around in the circles in the house, and I didn't sleep well, and I was a nervous wreck, and didn't know what was going to happen. So then I finally got a call almost 2 weeks later. It took forever. He calls and he says to me, he says, I got some good news and I got some bad news. One of those kind of phone calls. So he says, the good news is it's melanoma. And I'm like, good news? How could this be good? And he says, but we think we got it all around that area. He said, there's no signs of it around the perimeter edges. He said, so that's the good news. And I thought, what's the bad news? He goes on to say, the bad news is that it's very deep. And the cancer is very deep in the tissue. And he says, that means it's stage 4. And he said, stage 4 is not the kind that we would like to find, because stage 4 tends to spread into other parts of the body. And we have to really keep a good eye on this, because if we don't, he says, you could have a lot of problems. So we'll get you back in here every 3 months or so. We'll check you out, feel under your arms, feel, you know, your lymph node areas, your major lymph node areas, and we'll just get a sense of where we're at with this. He said, go on, don't worry about it, live your life, there's nothing you can do. Well, I mean, how many people can be told they have stage 4 melanoma that's aggressive in the first place? And stage 4 is not something that people usually live a long time with. And I got to reading and determine that the best I could, because we didn't have the internet like we have, you know. And it, you know, everything I found was pointing to like 3 years of survival with stage 4 melanoma. And I'm like, 3 years, my whole life, I'm 32 years old. What am I going to do? And all I did was worry. I became very depressed. I became very hard to be around. This happy-go-lucky guy wasn't happy-go-lucky anymore. And, you know, it was very hard on me. It was hard on my wife. Hard on everyone. I didn't have any ambition anymore. I just, all I knew to do was go to the doctor, get checked out. And I just wasn't a fun guy to be around at all. And I went to the doctor a couple of times. Everything looked okay. But by then, I had basically run my wife off, because my wife says, you know, I can't see you like this. I think it just was too much for her. And before I knew it, she left and moved into town with my little girl. Wow. And here I was just floored after that. I lost my desire to want to live after that. I didn't care if I lived or died. I started hanging out with my old drinking buddies. You know, I said, I can't stand this. I got to get out of the house. So I go into these back, you know, backside of town bar type places and hang out and sit around, and everything was fine until the next day. So I'd come back, and then before I knew it, I was taking a shower, and I found this big lump right in my groin. And, you know, I'm sure all the drinking didn't help, probably sped everything up. But I went, I found this big lump in my groin, which was like a marble. And I went into the doctor, and he said, well, you know, let's go ahead and see what that is. Let's get it out. It's probably nothing to it again. You know, nothing. There's never nothing to anything, you know. But he said, let's go in and first thing in the morning, have you check in the hospital, and we'll take it out. It's probably just be a little incision. So he goes in, he takes it out. I woke up after the surgery, and I knew I was in trouble because I felt there was all these bandages. And I felt like terrible. I could feel the pain starting to come on, and I knew this wasn't good. I knew. And before I knew it, here come the doctor in, the guy that did the surgery. And he says, well, he says, Mr. Templeton, he says, I'm sorry to tell you, but this cancer that you have has spread to your lymphatic system. And he says, that's not good news. He says, we really got an issue now. He says, it's, you know, gotten so into that, and now we have to really be aggressive, and I want to do 80 experimental chemotherapy treatments. He said, that's the only thing we think that will help you is experimental chemo. And this was had to do with elevating my temperature as high as they could with an IV drip of typhoid serum. And that would take about an hour or so. And then what he would suggest that I do after that was to go in, and then we would, you know, induce the chemo through the IV after that. That would take about 8 hours, and you would have to be in the hospital each time. So he suggested after I got recovered from this surgery I had, after 2 or 3 weeks, I would just stay at the hospital, and then he would go in and start giving me the chemo. That was the plan. Now, the next thing happened is I had to do this lymph drainage pump also, because I had no lymph nodes. So I had to do this pump. It was a pump that, you know, it's like a big sock, and it was compressing and everything. And I had to do that for several hours a day so that I didn't get lymphedema and lose my leg. So that was something he went on about. Well, I didn't want to lose my leg, so I had to do that. But the last thing he said was, I hate to tell you this, but you got a 20% chance of surviving 3 to 5 years. Now, that is if you can get through these chemotherapy treatments. He says, if you don't do the chemo at all, because I asked him, he said, there's not much of a chance for you, in my opinion. He says, I don't know. Maybe, you know, a miracle can happen, but I don't know. So I became, after that, I did not know what to do, Alan. I was laying there, and I was depressed. I had very little hope. I, you know, felt like my life had gone down the drain. I was just so upset, and I got a phone call, and the phone call was from a minister of a church I went to. And this guy was a minister that I went, I wasn't a real religious guy or anything, you know, but I'd go to church with my family, and, you know, not every week, but, you know, I'd go, and I knew the guy. He was a nice guy. He was an ex-baseball player, professional baseball player. And he was a very athletic guy himself that ran, and kind of like me. So I related to him. He calls me up and he says, James, he says, I've been praying for you. He says, everyone in town that I know is praying for you. The church is praying for you. He says, I want to tell you something right now. He says, you do not think about giving up. I want you to get in there. I want you to fight. I want you to give it your all. I want you to fight like hell. He said, beat this SOB in cancer. That's exactly what he said. He said, in other words, but that was what he said. And he said that, and it something happened to me. It got my attention, because here I was feeling sorry for myself, laying there. Now he got my attention, and I started to lay there, and I got tears in my eyes, and I started to pray. And I prayed, and I wasn't a guy that prayed a lot, but I started praying, and I felt like every cell in my body was praying. I never felt that kind of energy. It's like almost like you know, this energy around me. Every cell in my body was praying. And you don't feel that very often. And I felt that. And it was out of desperation. And as soon as I got through praying, I felt a calmness around me. And I bet you it was probably 20 minutes or so later, I got a knock on the door. And here comes a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in 7 years, an old college buddy. He comes through the door, and he's got this piece of paper, and he's waving this piece of paper around in his hand as he walked through the door. And he said to me, he said, "I heard you were here from a friend of ours, and I wanted to come see you, but I didn't know if I should. I was driving in the area around the medical center, and I had this article from a friend of mine at work about a guy that cured himself of cancer using this diet and lifestyle system. And he says, but something told me to come in. I hope it's okay." And so he had this strong urge, kind of like when you're thinking about somebody and the phone rings and it's somebody you hadn't seen and talked to in a long time. So he comes through the door. He gives me this information. It was about a guy, his name was Dirk Benedict, that healed himself on a macrobiotic diet. I never heard of that. I never even heard of macrobiotics back then. And back then, you know, when you get sick, you go to the doctor.
And you never really heard of healing diets before?
No, I never heard of anything. I never heard of anything holistic, any natural thing, any Eastern philosophy. I never heard of anything. So I looked at this, and this was a wonderful book review, and it got me excited. And I said, if this guy can do it, I'm going to do it. I said, this is in my mind, in my heart and soul. I felt like this is from the higher power. I'm supposed to do this. And I had my friend, I said, can you find this book for me? He went out and he found the book, brought it back that afternoon, and I couldn't put it down. I was so excited about this. I was reading this book. I was really into this. And now I had some hope. I started to get excited because it made sense to me. And so the next day, I got another knock on the hospital door. And here comes my stepmother, and she had a book in her hand. And she comes in, and she says, well, I got this book from a distant relative. I don't know anything about it, but it's about vitamin C and cancer. And I got the book in my hand. It was a book by Linus Pauling. And it talked about people that were terminally ill, people that had cancer, people that were kind of written off. And it showed that vitamin C in high amounts helped these people to survive for much longer periods. And it showed some people even got well if they took high enough amounts of vitamin C. Well, I got excited. I thought, well, if it'll help them, why won't it help me too? Well, I knew now I had this diet and I knew about vitamin C now. So I'm going to do those two things. So the next day, the last knock came on the door. And it's a strange thing. It was 3 days in a row. And I got this knock on the door. And here comes a fellow through the door. I didn't know who he was. And he says, well, I'm here to see you. I'm the psychotherapist from the cancer ward of the hospital. He says, I heard you were very depressed and, you know, I wanted to come and speak to you. Is this okay? Is this a good time? And I said, yes, but I want to ask you something. Have you ever heard of a diet called macrobiotic? And he says, hold on a minute. And he just took off towards the door. He went to the door and he shut the door. I thought he was leaving. I didn't know. I thought I said the wrong thing. He goes, shuts that door, and he shuts it tight. He comes back over, and he sits down by me and by my bed, and he says to me, he says, yeah, I have heard about it, but I want to ask you to not mention this to anyone, because if they know I'm talking to you about this, I'll lose my job, my retirement, my pension, all that. I've been here 20-something years. I don't want to lose my job. So I knew I was on to something now, because this guy's doing all this, shutting the door and all this. He went on to tell me that if you go on this diet, I think it could help you. He says, I've seen a lot of good things with this diet. A lot of people have done very well with this diet. And he says, it takes a lot of work. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to do it the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way. You've got to do it the right way. He says, because I don't see that you're that depressed. You seem like you're itching to do something here. Well, he didn't know about all this yet, what had happened. But when he told me all this news, I knew then that now is the time for that I can do something. And I got so excited that he also told me about two other books even, about macrobiotics and this guy, this doctor that got healed from macrobiotics. And all this is in the book. But I got very, very excited. And now I was going to do all three of those things, the vitamin C, the macrobiotic diet, and the chemo. So I did the chemo, but it made me so sick. And long story short, I left the hospital, came back 2 months later to do five more treatments, because every 2 months, it took that long to recover. So I come back in, they must have doubled or tripled, because it was the worst thing I've ever done. I felt like I had the worst case of flu, you know, like you're so bad, just hit me over the head with something, please. And I felt so bad though, like it was 10 times over. I never felt that bad in my life. And I was laying there one day when I was getting this chemo, and I was just totally out of it because I couldn't eat anything. I was miserable. And I heard a nurse say, "Somebody come in here quick. His temperature is too high. Who's been watching this fellow's temperature?" They said, "We got to get his temperature down. He could die in here." I heard that because I felt like I was near death. I mean, it's just like this feeling, like no energy. I knew that I was going to be the next guy they were going to wheel out of there, because every night somebody was dying on the floor. I knew that I didn't want to be the next one. I couldn't eat. I was losing weight so fast, and I was throwing up, and it was terrible. But when I talked to this doctor, that next day he came in, and I said, "I got to talk to you." I said, "I am so sick from this chemo." And he says, "Well, that's because your body's not responding. Your body's rejecting the chemo." He says, "We had hoped that wouldn't happen, but you're just not doing well with this chemo." And he says, "That's all we know to do." And I said, "Well, what would you do if it was your son or daughter? Wouldn't you do something else?" He goes, "No, I'd do the same thing." And I said, "Well, what about a diet? What about, you know, vitamin supplements like vitamin C? What about that? Does any of that help?" He goes, "No, none of that stuff." He says, you don't even want to go there." He said, that's a waste of time." Well, I said, "Well, I got to do something. I could die in here." And he looked at me and he says, "Well, we're all going to die someday," is what he told me. And when he told me that, I got so mad. I just had a rage of anger come over me. And he'd taken my hope, trying to take my hope away from me and my will out from under me. And I got up and I raised up in that bed and I said, "Listen here." And I pointed my finger at this guy. And this is a big time doctor. And I said, "Listen here, you SOB. If I could get out of this bed, I would tear you apart." I said, and that guy looked at me and he looked like he'd seen a ghost. And he walked out of that room. He didn't say nothing. He just walked out. I never saw that doctor again, I'll tell you, because two nights later, I made up my mind that I was going to get out of that hospital. And I wasn't going to stick around to see what was going to happen. And I was going to give it my all. I was going to go 100% into this macrobiotic thing. I was going to fight like I'd never fought before. And I was going to have this mentality, if this diet and this vitamin C and this lifestyle didn't work for me, it wouldn't work for anyone else, because I was going to set the example for everyone to follow. My strong will kicked in. My mind, body, spirit, everything kicked in. I used everything to my advantage, and it's been a wonderful journey, you know, over the years. I'm glad to be sitting here talking about it today.
Sounds like it was really your will to live, so that really was, in the sense, the bottom of the cure, the sense, the act. And then, of course,
yes,
that is a beautiful story, because I know when my father got cancer, we went to the Sloan Kettering, and then I told him about macrobiotics, and he showed the doctor the book. The doctor threw the book across the table and said, "That's garbage. Eat whatever you want."
I know.
We really got into it. We went up to the Cushy Institute, and really, and my father lived for another 10 years. I know it's in your book, but could you go through part of the essentials that, because people listening might,
yes,
chance to read your book. And
well, I understand. I understand. And the thing about the macrobiotic diet and lifestyle is that it's very healing, you know. And it, I'm kind of nowadays, I don't follow a strict macrobiotic diet because I believe that sometimes the diet that heals you is not the diet you have to stay on forever. One of my teachers that I look up to probably more than anybody was Dr. Hazel Parcells. As you met and you were there with me on my 40th birthday party. I remember that. And we got to spend some time with her. And I know you met her before that too, but she told me, you know, some things that made me want to, you know, widen out. But the thing about the doctor, she was unbelievable. But the thing about the diet is that, you know, the macrobiotic diet was great because it was 50% organic whole grains. And it was 25% vegetables, like organic vegetables, and a majority of them were cruciferous vegetables, which we know have cancer-fighting properties and are anti-cancer.
Like cauliflower, broccoli, these
are cabbage, you know, kale, mustard greens, all that stuff. And they had everything. And when you look at it, you go, no wonder it works good for people with cancer. No wonder. It also had seaweed. It was 5% seaweed, which is anti-cancer. You know, sea vegetables. It had beans. There was like 15% or so of beans. And that's like lentils, chickpeas, adduki beans. I lived on miso soup and vegetables. I mean, to this day, I still use the miso.
That's basically my diet.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful system. And I really believe it. The only reason I can't eat as many grains as I used to. And I have to have more protein. And I learned that from Dr. Parcells. But the thing is that the macrobiotic diet is so detoxifying. And it's so, you know, helps you with elimination. It helps to alkalinize your body because most people that have cancer are very acidic, you know, and they have this acidic environment and, you know, on a biochemical level anyway. And you know, you've got to change that and you got to get your body to where it can heal itself and stimulate your immune system. But the macrobiotic diet was a wonderful tool for me and it's the lifestyle. And we did certain stretches and I did deep breathing and I never saw anybody chew their food like I did. I chewed my food 180 times a mouthful. They say 50 times. I said 180. I don't know where I got it. And I did visualization. I did meditation. And I was taking the vitamin C too. Now, vitamin C, I think, was a huge part of it. I started to feel things after 3 months, and I really felt this energy. I started to feel like a natural high in my body, you know, like my cells were just dancing with joy. I mean, I started laughing again. I started feeling good. But, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. I was laying there in bed after probably about, I would say, 3 months after I started this diet. And I was really strict. I mean, I was really into, I didn't cut any corners. I can honestly say for 6 years, I didn't cut one corner ever. And I don't know of anyone probably any stricter than me, if any, but I was serious. It was serious business for me. It was my life. But I started to notice one day I was laying in bed and the bed was all wet around my legs. And I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? I get up in the morning, I had all this moisture all on the bed. So I looked and I saw in both legs between, on the inside of the leg, between the knee and the ankle, I had these little bitty holes that opened up in my legs.
Wow.
And there was just like this clear liquid coming out of my legs. And I mean, this is a true story. And I'm laying there like, what in the world is this? And I just had to think it was detox. You know, my body was detoxing. Now, I saw that, and after a few days of that, it just closed back up like it never happened. A lot of this green stuff helps to detoxify the heavy metals in the body. You know, there's a lot of heavy metals that people have in their body. That's a big problem with toxicity. The infrared sauna is my favorite way to detox now. I use an infrared sauna almost every day when I can. And I mean, that's something I've done recently. I'm really into it now, but I had a sauna for years. I've had a sauna, and I really think it's one of the best things I've ever used because it really pulls out a lot of the heavy metals, the toxins, mercury. You know, I find that that works better for that than is just about anything. And the thing about it is it goes in up to 3 inches, you know, the tissue.
Relax far infrared. Phil Wilson. Phil's the
Yes.
I'm a distributor of that. I recommend those to everybody.
Well, everyone should buy one from Alan because I'll tell you what, that is the best tool anybody can have. And there's people out there, I think I talk about it in the book, that says there's a doctor that says if he had to do one thing for cancer, he would do that. He would have that before anything else. Because, see, what happens is, as you know, is when your immune system is overloaded with toxins, it can't do its job. And over time, you start to the immune system loses its ability to you know, kill off the cancer cells to a certain level. So you got to keep that toxicity level down. You know, that's all we're trying to do is detoxify, take the load off the immune system. Well, the heavy metals. I mean, everyone that's walking around that has mercury amalgams in their mouth, that has silver fillings or has root canals in your mouth, you really need to get that checked out because this could be one of the biggest culprits, you know, that's biggest serpents, I guess you could say, you know, in your body. And the thing is I had a good friend, Dr. Hal Huggins, that was like a pioneer and a modern day pioneer with all this. And he used to tell me, you show me a root canal, I'll show you cancer. And he would tell me about, you know, the mercury amalgams. You know, people had all kinds of problems from, you know, not only cancer to MS and everything else. But
you recommend pulling your root canal.
I believe that's the only way to do it because, you know, you could go in and get an implant. Now, there's certain zirconium implants that some people say is better. I'm not sold on it yet. I don't know. I'm not the expert. But talking to different dentists, that biological dentists, like, I haven't heard anyone, you know, raving about any of that. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to do that. But I believe I had a root canal. I had 4 root canals because I had some bad dentistry. And I knew better, but I went ahead and let somebody put them in. And I knew better. But anyway, they found this cyst under there. And he said, boy, you were headed for a heart attack because it was on the meridian to the heart meridian. He said, if we didn't get that out of there, he said, I've seen so many people die of heart attacks with this kind of issue. And that guy was brilliant. And they took that out. Well, I don't have any root canals now. I wear a partial. So be it. You know, it's all plastic. It's not
better
a big
than
deal.
Putting that stuff in your body.
Oh, but you know, I've talked to, there's a doctor out in the, not too far, I think in Pennsylvania, and she is a dentist. She had leukemia. She was dying of leukemia. And I talked to her on the phone before I had this out because, you know, she told me right then that, look, you got to get them out. I had leukemia and I think she had 6 root canals and she was basically couldn't work, couldn't do anything anymore. So she found out about Dr. Huggins. She wasn't alternative. She was just, you know, a straight laced dentist. She goes to Dr. Huggins and, he says, we got to get these things out. He got them out of there for her and she recovered within 2 weeks. Her blood chemistry was normal. Can you believe that?
She had no illness after that. No.
Now she's helping people. And parasites is a really big thing. It's one of the most immunosuppressive things that no one talks about enough. You know, how many medical doctors you've gone to see say, oh, let's check you out right off the bat for parasites. What do they do when you take your dog or your animal or your any kind of animal to the veterinarian? That's the first thing they do. They don't check for anything before they check for parasites. Right. Now, why shouldn't we have parasites? We're eating raw foods. We're eating, drinking bad water. We're digging in our gardens with our hands. Why shouldn't we? Well, I thought of this when I discovered parasites. It was because I went to Ann Louise Gittleman's parasite lecture. I didn't know her then.
Probably you're probably one of the best health coaches and experts in the world.
Oh yeah. Well, I met her at a parasite lecture that she gave And it was out in New England. And I went up to see her. A friend of mine was a big fan of hers and a client of hers. He says, you got to come in and see this gal. You speak because she's wonderful. And she's got a lot of good information. I think you're going to really find it very valuable because, you know, you've had cancer. You're doing well, but maybe there's other things you need to do. Well, I knew that. I was looking for the next thing I needed to do, you know, besides macrobiotics. So I go in to lecture. I was very interested in what she had to say. There was a big group of people. And I went up to her and I said, listen, Ann Louise, it's nice to meet you. And I've had cancer, you know, and, you know, I've had a lot of animals and I've had all this stuff. I had a farm in Texas. And I said, do you think I have parasites? You know, I might have parasites. And she looks at me and she said, looked for a second at me. She says, yes, I think you do have parasites. And I said, well, how do you know? And she says, well, you just have that parasitic look. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, then I felt like almost nauseous inside. But she said, you look like you have parasites to me. She said, don't take it from me. She says, I'll send you to a guy in New York. His name is Dr. Herman Bueno. And Dr. Herman Bueno was a renowned parasitologist from Columbia that happened to live in New York and practice, you know, his medicine in New York. And she said, you know what? I'd even go with you. She said, I want to meet this guy. Because she had written a book on parasites and eventually, you know.
That Guess What Came to Dinner.
Yes. And she said, I want to meet him myself. And she said, if you want to go, have someone go with you, I would be glad to go. So I said, sure. You know, here's this wonderful, unbelievable woman, you know, is asking me to go with her. And I said, sure, I'll go. So I went into Dr. Bueno. He looks at me and he goes, well, my friend, he said, let's see what's going on, you know. And he took this tissue swab sample with this big, long swab. And he, you know, went up into my rear end and he got these samples and he said, let's see what we got here. And he put them under these slides. We had this microscope, you know, that had two lenses, you know, it's like a teaching microscope, one for me to look in, one for him to look in. And he goes in there, oh, my friend, he says, amoeba, you have amoeba, like lots of amoeba histolytica, which is a one-celled organism. Then he went on to say, you have Giardia lamblia. And he says, oh, he says, you also have something called Ascaris lumbricoides. And he says, well, that's commonly known as roundworms. Wow. Well, I'd heard that because every time I went to the vet with my dogs, you know, they had roundworm and I'd have to have them dewormed and all that. So I got excited because he got me to take these herbal formulas, which eventually I switched to another one that Ann Louise suggested that might be a little more gentle. But he said that the herbs work and the drugs don't really work as well because he could do either way. You know, he was a medical doctor. But he told me then that he had never seen a cancer or AIDS patient that didn't have some kind of parasitic involvement. So when I heard that news, my brain started to kick in.
I would say that the majority of people have some kind of parasitic involvement.
I have no idea, but I would bet it's up there because Dr. Purcell's used to say that I think something like 70% or more people she felt had parasites.
I think that's true.
And
some people could have big worms, tapeworm.
I mean, oh yeah, well I had it all, and I was loaded.
And they can live in people's bodies for years. And even a colonoscopy wouldn't even detect that.
They don't. It's one of the biggest things out there that's, I mean, I hate it, but no one talks about it. Dr. Purcell's, you know, talked about it and talked about her, she had her own cleanses. But the thing about it was I went on this cleanse for 3 months. And when I went back to see him, I was all cleared at that point. And he really got my attention. And I started thinking about how am I going to, you know, help myself going forward. How can I help others? Look at all these other people that have cancer. What if they have parasites? Maybe that's what's really holding them back from being able to heal themselves.
Yeah. So you started you got so excited about helping people, and you're still helping people with this book and your story.
Oh yeah.
And do you want to mention some of the ways you help people now? Or
well, I'll tell you what I did was I was one night after this happened, you know, I thought really hard about it because I knew I needed to do something. I wanted to give back. I wanted to help people. And I had been in the convenience store gas station business in Texas before I got sick, and I had to, you know, was successful. But I didn't want to go back to that toxic, being around toxic gasoline and toxic petrochemicals. And I didn't want to sell beer and cigarettes for a living, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I knew I needed to do something. And I started to think really hard about it. And one night I woke up during the night with an idea. And it was about a name, and it was called UniKey, UniKey, and Universal Key to Health is what it would stand for, UniKey. And I got this message that I needed to start that, and my message told me that I needed to get to the root of health issues, and the root would be, you know, parasites, starting out with parasites. And because I felt that that was maybe the deepest seated thing that people maybe needed to rule out at least. And I would start out with that. So I was going to start a company called UniKey Health Systems. And so I did. Eventually I did. And to this day, over 27 years, I've had UniKey Health System that's been very, very successful. We not only do parasite cleansing, but we do everything imaginable now. And it's helped so many people. But, you know, it's funny how
samples that people suspect, do they send you a stool sample?
Yeah, we do parasite testing. So they can send in, they can look us up at unikeyhealth.com, and they can find out more about what we do. But, you know, it's amazing how all this started with a dream that I woke up with, wrote the name down, and I think that that came from up above, just like my healing did, my message I got. So you have to listen to these things. And you know, when you're ready, sometimes things just happen.
Well, your healing has actually helped so many other people to heal. And you're a messenger, and you're passionate because it was your life. It was
yes.
Your drive. I mean,
yeah, I'm very passionate, and I just get so tired of everyone. You know, there's so many things out there. People don't know what to do, and there's very few people talking about some of the things I think are the most important things. And you know, it's all about this.
Did we miss anything that you feel is really important? We got the diet, the macro, and the health diet, and then the detox, and then the heavy metals, the parasites, the root canal. I mean, is there any major, major thing that people should, of course, they'll read your book, but anything that we missed in as it really important?
Well, I think that the overall thing, we've touched on it. I think it's the body, mind, and spirit thing. And I know you're into that too, that I believe you've got to look at your body, and you've got to strengthen your body, and you have to use detoxification. You've got to rebuild your body with good, healthy diet. You got to put the good stuff in, take the bad stuff out. And it's so important for health, whether you just want to be healthy, whether you want to, help prevent cancer. And you got to use your mind, because once you start to feel better, you start to believe. And when you don't believe, you know, that's negative, and your immune system can't do its job. 50% or more is in believing. And you got to have a spirit, and the spirit comes along with your determination and strong will. And that comes from believing. It comes from feeling better. It's hard to have that when you don't feel well and you don't have any energy and you're depressed. So you need to really, that it's all such a key factor, you know, the body, mind, the spirit. And you have to also look around and see what other people are doing. But you want to be around people that are like-minded individuals, that are people that are positive, and people that have good stories. You don't want to read negative stuff. You don't want to read something that someone says, oh, that's not good, or oh, don't worry about this. And don't listen to people that tell you that, because that's going to take you down the drain. So you have to say to yourself, if they can do this, then I can do it. Why can't I do it? You know, you have to do this. So you have to really get down, roll up your sleeves, especially if you have cancer, roll up your sleeves, you know, knock heads with it, you know, go to war with it. It's, you know, nice guys finish last with this stuff. You know, a lot of people that get cancer are very nice people. A lot of them, I think, hold a lot of emotional stuff inside. I didn't want to let it out, but you know, no more. I let it out. If I don't like what I hear, I let people know about it. You know, I'm still the same guy, but I'm not going to sit around and get beat up and thrown over the cliff any longer.
Right. Good. No, I'm really happy that you're speaking out about this, that, you know, happened and other people can learn. The other elements that, you know, our whole show is the air we breathe, the water we drink. But one topic that I think your personal health coach talks about is the EMFs. Do you want to say it?
Well, the EMFs, you know, everybody's glued to their cell phones nowadays. You know, how many people do you see when you go in a restaurant or in the airport or just anywhere? They're all like this. They're all sitting here like this. They're like this. They're like this. They sleep with it next to their bed. They got it on. You know, they got Wi-Fi running all 24/7 all around them. Well, this is very, very disruptive to the natural frequency of the cells. It affects their ability to be totally healthy. It affects our immune system. There's that, and people are in these living around these high powered lines, and they're sleeping in with their head next to an electrical plug. You know, I know we can't get away from cell phones. I know we can't get away from technology, and they're sitting right here all day long. And you know, the thing that I feel is that you have to do everything in moderation. You have to be aware, and you have to understand that that extreme use of this stuff is going to affect us. It's all about, like you said, it's the water, it's the parasites, it's yeast and fungus and candida, it's yeast, sugar. You got to cut the sugar down. Sugar feeds everything.
Cut it out completely.
Got to cut it out. You got to keep your high glycemic foods down to a minimum.
What's a glycemic food?
Well, glycemic foods are things that turn into sugar quicker. You know, that on the, you know, glucose that turns into glucose and builds, you know, too much of that's going to feed the cancer. You want to starve it from the sugar, because if you're taking high amounts of vitamin C, vitamin C has a very similar molecular structure to glucose. And what happens is, in things I've read, is that, sorry about that, but so the thing is, though, that vitamin C is very similar. And when the body can't get enough sugar, when the cancer can't get enough sugar to feed off of, what's it going to go to? It goes to the vitamin C. Vitamin C just destroys cancer cells in its track. Now,
and drips,
it creates apoptosis, which is like the cancer cells commit suicide.
But how do you take the vitamin C? You take it through tablets or?
I take it orally. I used to take over 20,000 milligrams, but now I take about 15 or 16, sometimes 20. But
any particular brand of vitamin C, though?
Well, I take a brand. One of them is called Vitality C, and it is from, what is the brand? I think I had it written down over here. It's written American Nutraceuticals.
Okay.
And that's a very good powder. It's 80% absorbed. It's almost as good as IV vitamin C, which I believe is very helpful if you have cancer. It's like a healthy chemotherapy vitamin C. If you can get that, you can take up to, some people have taken up to 100 grams a day of vitamin C of, you know, IV. But I like IV and orally. You got to do both. Saturate your body. Keep the sugar down low. And you got to take a lot of enzymes too. Enzymes are very important. There's a lot of research about enzymes. Pancreatic enzymes are very important. There was a doctor there in New York, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, that is not with us any longer, but he had tremendous results with treating people with using enzyme therapy. This all came.
Oh, no, sorry. What were you going to say
there? I was going to say this has been around since the early 1900s from Dr. John Beard's work, but that's been kind of shoved under the table by a lot of people, but it's tremendous what happens with that. A lot of the things we've been talking about, from the saunas to the vitamin C to enzyme therapy. And I've been interviewing a lot of people with my foundation, and people that had late stage cancers that have survived for 10 years or more using natural means of surviving.
What about the herbal supplement, like the Beljansky herbal? Do you know him? The Beljansky, the herbal remedies there?
I'm not real familiar with him, but the herbs are good. You know, curcumin's good for inflammation. And curcumin, they say, kills cancer, you know, as a cancer-fighting supplement. I like high amounts of antioxidants, any kind of. Astaxanthin is very, very important. That's like a algae that's found around the Hawaii area. And that's like huge. I mean, it's the most highest in antioxidants of any substance. And I think that's very important, the astaxanthin. There is, you know, proline helps to build, is an amino acid, helps build your collagen. Lysine is probably one of the most important things you can take, because lysine, high amounts of lysine, is about probably somewhere around 6,000 milligrams of lysine a day.
Lysine helps to, every day, take some lysine?
Yes, because lysine destroys nagalase, which is the enzyme that cancer cells use to metastasize. And see, cancer has been found by the Linus Pauling, Dr. Rath study back a few years ago. They found that cancer was a collagen disease. And I talk about all this in the book, but when you build up the collagen, that the cancer can't penetrate through that very well. It has a hard time. And if you take the lysine starts to whittle away at the nagalase. So, you know, that's a key factor. You know, there's so much people can do nowadays. And when you're eating a clean diet that's detoxifying, and you're doing all these things, and, you know, even, you know, coffee enemas, and colonics are very helpful.
And, you know, one more thing, I know we could talk for days about all this. There's the diet, there's the metals, there's the parasites, there's the Wi-Fi, but the real silent killer probably is radiation. That doctor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We just have something. I mean, talk about the Purcell's cure for some of that.
Oh yeah. Well, we knew about radiation. We were both glowing in Santa Fe when we lived in Santa Fe. You know, I mean, the people in Santa Fe. I feel sorry for them. I love Santa Fe. I would live there in a minute because it's a wonderful place. It's a very healing kind of energy. But I'll tell you, you know, that Los Alamos there with this plutonium, and it's all vented out. And, you know, over years, it's ended up in the water, small amounts in the water table. And, you know, radiation is bad. People don't see this radiation. They're living next to close to power plants, nuclear power plants.
Look what happened with Fukushima. Still dumping.
Oh, yeah.
Tons and tons of rain.
Oh, it's coming across. It comes across. And when it rains here, even here, because we're in the Northwest, and you get that radiation. If you feel slight flu-like sometimes, it's not the flu, believe me. It's radiation. And I'm a big, I mean, I can feel radiation like coming. I feel it. I'm like a, you know, like a gauge for radiation. And I tell you what, I learned how to get it rid of it and keep it down. It's not easy when you live somewhere where you're constantly getting dumped on. But radiation is probably one of the most cancer-causing substances. Airborne radiation from nuclear plants and nuclear facilities. And Dr. Purcell's talked about this, and she had a way of neutralizing the radiation. And she used 2 pounds of baking soda and 2 pounds of sea salt in a tub of water. And you sit in that water for 20 minutes, or at least 20 minutes until your body cools down, until the water cools down. And you want to lay that, you'll feel that energy just leave your body. But unfortunately, if you live in an area, you should probably do one every night or every morning, and you feel a lot better.
You use to detox?
Well I do other things, because I know about, you know, a little bit of other energy things that I can do. I do special energy broadcasts and things myself that I learned from her that I learned from her, but you know, most people wouldn't know how to do that, but they can definitely do the salt and soda baths. And sometimes you have to drink a little baking soda, a little bit in water, and sometimes cream of tartar. She would use a little, like a quarter teaspoon of cream of tartar, and drink that. Because I mean, sometimes you feel like somebody just, you just feel this tightness. Radiation enters the body back here on the top two vertebrae, and it affects your thyroid. And that's why it's important, if there's ever a big dump of radiation, to do iodine, like Lugo solution or something like that. Potassium iodide, you really need that, because that helps to neutralize. It's kind of more of an antidote, but some people don't feel it. I feel it. You know, they'll say, I don't feel anything. But when I lived in New Jersey for a year, I started to feel it, and I didn't know what it was, but I was living close to Picatinny Arsenal. 2 miles is the crow flies. And I didn't know why I felt so bad there. And I realized after I found out what it was. So little by little, I discovered the effect of radiation and the harmful effects. So, my life has been a learning experience. And I...
Not just for you, but for lots of people that you've helped.
Yes.
Thousands of people over the years.
And yes.
This book for you, you feel, is another piece that people can learn and heal and feel better. Just hold up the book again. And what's, so you say, I used to have cancer, and the subtitle of that is?
It says right here, it says, I used to have cancer, how I found my own way back to health.
Right.
And the foreword is by Dwight McKee, which is an oncologist that believes in this philosophy. And he lives in California, but, I was lucky to find a doctor that was willing to put his name on this book.
Well, I think more and more people must be. I mean, since you've started, since we've all done that for 30 years, don't you think there's been a shift in the mainstream a little bit?
There's a little bit of a shift, but unfortunately it's still people end up finding out they have cancer, usually because they go to their doctor and the doctor finds it and they get the test, and then they get frayed because the doctor says, we need, this is serious and we got to do the surgery and we got to do the chemo. And I would never tell anyone not to do that, because I had surgery.
Right.
I had chemotherapy some. Maybe it helped. Maybe it got me well. Who knows? But I wasn't going to stick around when they only still, after that, only gave me a 20% chance. What are you going to do? You're going to stick around? I learned from the book I read. I learned from that and the vitamin C. And I learned, I had some ammunition. And I also learned that what really caused cancer. And once I started looking into that, I said, hey, now I know I created it and I have to get rid of it.
What was that? What was it that you feel really caused it?
Well, I feel that what caused it was the toxic overload. I felt like that I was around a lot of those chemicals I was talking about. I was under a lot of stress. I had this depression for a long time because of the deaths in my family. I had a lot and then I had this job where for years I did pipe fitting with PVC glues. So I'm sitting there in a trench with this stuff, breathing this stuff. I did that, and I drank a lot, and I ate the wrong foods, and I ate too much sugar, and I ran all the time. I was tired from running. I didn't even support myself. I thought that if I ate salads all the time there for the last few years, 4 years or so, I got into this salad thing. This diet was 90% salads, and I wasn't eating enough protein, and I burnt myself out. And no wonder my immune system says, we can't do it any longer. It's time to either
last as long as you did, right?
Oh yeah, I'm lucky to be here, because it's a miracle. And it's a miracle, but it also, as they say, God helps those who help themselves.
Right.
So you gotta take the bull by the horns, and no one's going to do it for you. And if you're laid up in one of these places, you're a number. You're just a number. And these guys are all making lots of money off of all this stuff, but your number, and they don't get so upset, most people, because it's they're used to seeing it day after day after day. They're not vested psychologically the way they should, because how could they? So it's up to us to take control of our own health and to fight like we've never fought before, and to educate ourselves and go forward and look for things and read and surround yourself with like-minded people. And remember,
you don't give
one
up on anyone. I mean, there you were with
no.
So anyone that who's maybe not doing well, who thinks there's no hope, you. Would encourage.
Oh, go to my foundation, Templeton Wellness Foundation. You'll see people that were written off 6 months, 20, 30 years later. They're doing great. I have a friend down there in Houston that I interviewed, and he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Well, that's a 1% survival rate, is what I hear. Basically, they say, get your stuff in order, get your affairs in order. There's nothing, it's not if, it's when. And I got interested in this because I had a friend, his wife, good friend, his wife died of pancreatic cancer. I couldn't convince her to do anything else other than the medical stuff. So she didn't make it a year. I died like 9 months later. But this other guy, he's 12 years later, he's doing better than he's ever done in his life. And he just walked away from everything and did similar things to what I'm doing. He actually is doing the Gonzalez protocol, and he found Dr. Gonzalez there, and that was his clinic was in New York. Nicholas Gonzalez.
All right. Was that mostly health? I mean, diet and supplements.
Is
that
diet? High amounts of pancreatic enzymes, as we talked about, because pancreas produces the enzymes. So now the enzyme bank's so low, they got to build this up so the body has a chance. So the immune system can, but it's all about immune system. It's just like I said before, it's diet, detox, and supplementation. They do the same thing. They just have their own protocol. And, Linda Isaacs is a doctor that used to work with him and was his ex-wife. She has a clinic there now. She's the one that took over his patients. She's in New York City. And it's never a death sentence. Cancer, no matter how bad it seems, is not a death sentence. If you wait too long and you get run through the mill and you don't have enough energy left, it's tough. But you can't mess around with it. It's not something you say, well, I'll see what happens in 6 months. You got to get on it, I believe that 8 out of 10 people will get well if they really dig in. That's what I feel.
Well, James, you are still all in it. You're still 100% going for it. Not just for you, but for the people you come in contact with, the TempletonWellness.org. People can go there and find hope and find solutions.
That's TempletonWellness.com.
TempletonWellness.com.
Yes, and I used to have cancer.com. They can go there again. They can order the book there and get 3 free downloads. And there's links to Amazon and links to Barnes & Noble and all that. But they can get that. They can get my 5 fabulous supplements that I really think are important. They can also get 10, cancer prevention diet recipes that I really recommend. And they can also see what I do on a regular basis from day to day. Here's how I live my life to help prevent cancer. I think that they'll find it's a good read, and I think it's inspiring. And we have to have inspiration, because it's like I said, it's the strong will, it's believing. And but again, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, James. Say hello to everybody.
Thank you. I will. Thank you very much.
All right. And we'll be in touch.
Okay.